irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. Now, if you were watching the Oscars and you're all caught up on that, I thank you for coming here with me here tonight on Max and Friends and taking some time to own your space. What does it mean to own your space? What does it mean? What does it mean to have confidence in transition and self-mastery? We're going to talk about it tonight because my guest who's joining me tonight again, you know, the first time you're a friend, second time you're family. So Tracy now is family. Tracy Dunblazer is going to be here in just a moment. She's had a busy weekend, and I'm just grateful that she's had some time to come and chill with us here on Max and Friends and talk about some wonderful things. We're going to talk about what it means to own your own space, self-acceptance. What is confidence? Okay, that's a big thing. Confidence is a huge thing. I love confident people. Now, there's a difference between being confident and being a dick. So we're going to talk about that for sure. And then also we're going to talk about transitioning from jobs, relationships, lovers, friends, bad habits, homes, and peacefully. We're going to bring all of that energy here tonight here on Max and Friends because that's what we do here. We're just going to have a good time, a great conscious conversation. And I'm so grateful that Tracy's here. Not tomorrow, Monday, but the following Monday, Tracy's going to be on The Polish Woman with Jessica Bunavach on LA Talk Radio live stream. So tune in next Monday at 1 o'clock to watch that. So Tracy Dunblazer is a Los Angeles-based spiritual empath, a shaman, and a five-time national award winning author and a friend to Max and Friends. There's so much about Tracy, but we've got to talk about this show here tonight. I'm glad you're here. Take a moment to just breathe into this moment and space of time and just really chill. Relax your brain, relax your mind, relax your body, relax your breath. Inhale, exhale, and just be present. Own your space right now, because tonight on Max and Friends, we're going to have an amazing life class here. You know, it's like that wonderful moment where you're gonna be like, oh, yes, I need this. I need this in my life right now. I know I can feel that you all need this in your life right now because everything just unfolded naturally for tonight's show and this moment of just being here right now. So without any further ado, welcome back, my friend Tracy Dunblazer to Max and Friends.
So good to be here. I'm so grateful to... I don't chill a lot, so to have this moment of time and space to just be here with you and share with your people, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm excited. Thank you.
Absolutely. You've had a super busy weekend, so tell us what you've been up to before we get into the show.
Oh, my. We are at the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles, California, and it's a huge expo. It's one of the leading events in the New Age arena, mind, body, spirit arena. There are vendors from all over the world, all over the country. There are over 30,000 people stroll through here starting on Friday, ending tomorrow. And it is just packed. It is a madhouse. So we are having so much fun and meeting so many people and learning so many new things. There's a lot of new technology. There's so much more new research in the holistic field. And this is a great place to get some of that information.
Now, as you're saying, there's some things going on with just so y'all know, this is how I love Tracy owning her own space right now. We're going to talk about it on the show tonight. But Tracy right now is like literally at the convention and she's behind her booth in this 6-foot space of just pure bliss right now because we're talking to Max Friends. So if you hear laughing and talking in the background, just so y'all know, I'm transparent here. That's because Tracy's like literally tuning in at this moment from the convention. So thank you. I appreciate you being here because I know there's a million things going on there. And thank you for this moment in time. But, you know, you said there's some new techniques. What do you see at the convention, the conscious convention, that that our listeners might be super interested in?
Well, I mean, you find everything here from Ayurvedic healing. I'm presenting the precursor to my new book coming out in August called Conquer Your Karmic Relationships. There's all kinds of light healing. There's a new Kundalini healing process that somebody has here that I was chatting with. There's a lot of keynote speakers, and I saw Greg Braden speak yesterday. He's one of my all-time heroes. He's been in the industry since the 70s, but he started out as an archaeologist. And there's a lot of new history that really tells us what we're learning in our schools today is no longer the truth. We have moved beyond it in our research. We know that there is a proof of human life they've proven that evolution, many beings have evolved, human beings we didn't evolve. We were seated in the way that we are, and we've got proof of it for the last 200,000 years. But there's a lot more research behind some of these things that, you know, even 30 years ago or 20 years ago, we considered a myth. Mm-hmm. And some of the larger conglomerates or systems in our societies, they don't really want us to know that because they want to keep us sick. They want to keep us confused. Right. They want to keep us diminished. Yeah. And Gaia.com, if anybody's interested in that, they're actually streaming the Greg Braden keynote, and they're streaming all of the information that you find here. But whatever you have going on, there's a lot of information about extraterrestrials, but really to help people understand that, of course, we are not alone. You know what I mean? I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and you know, I'm not any of those things. I'm a regular gal who has an alien landing strip in her backyard. Like I don't talk to them often, but I know that they're with us, and I embrace them. You know, there are many facets to our life where it's time now that we open up to receiving help on a lot of levels.
You know, it's fascinating because it's all patterns of pathology, and everything we know is what we were taught. So we kind of have to like reprogram, shift the paradigm, forget everything we know, and tap into our body knowing that it already knows how to heal itself. You know, just like a flower knows how to grow naturally. You know, it's fascinating because we'll accept the fact that our body will heal from a common cold, right? Like we don't really do much. We drink tea and whatever, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, no, the body knows to heal and repair itself. And that's just not on a common cold level. I mean, that's on all sorts of levels. So it's tapping into that frequency and knowing that our body already knows how to heal itself, you know, getting into binaural beats and all sorts of just really amazing amazing gifts that I think the universe has presented with us and that we just need to tap into. But, you know, I want to just plug real quick.
And to that end, Max, what's interesting is coming down with a cold or some bronchial stuff. There's a lot of different, like the coronavirus, there's all of these things going on in the world that are emerging literally to help us transition the way in which we relate to our bodies and mm-hmm. our ability, like you said, to take responsibility, to be accountable without needing other people to help.
Yeah.
Right?
Owning
to really
our space.
Reflect on, yes, own your space.
Owning ourselves.
And heal yourself.
Yeah, so, totally. Yeah. So if you all are interested right now, you can go to www.beaslayer.com and also tracydumblazer.com. You can find all of this on @MaxTucci on my Instagram page. We've got it posted there. Tracy's Twitter is @TracyDumblazer and her Instagram is GoTracy, TRACEE. So that's my guest tonight, Tracy Dumblazer. I'm so glad that you're back here. We've got a lot to talk about. And I know that you've got to get shifting your time from here back into the convention. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about owning your own space and what does it mean to actually own your own space and self-acceptance?
Okay. So here's the thing, Max. Owning your own space is the deepest level of self-acceptance. And the final rung or sometimes the first rung to really accepting yourself is to overcome your sense of self-loathing. Everybody feels it. Self-loathing is actually a feeling, but it's also a spiritual dynamic. It's our consciousness first ability to recognize the dense physical body that it is inserted into. When our soul comes into our body as a baby, we cry because that free spirit has been injected into this physical mass, this dense physical mass, that it is just beginning to emerge into this new space. And for a moment, for a period of time, and sometimes for lifetimes, it has lost what appears to be its freedom, right? And so when we are angry, when we feel self-contempt, when we feel contempt towards others, anytime somebody feels loathsome or contempt to themselves or others, it's because they feel like their freedom has been taken from them in some way. Mm. And the truth is, nobody can take from us what we don't give.
That's the truth.
And, right?
And absolutely.
So to overcome, to accept, one of the things I think a lot about is body consciousness. Right. So whether no matter what you look like, if you are large, small, wide, tall, whatever your shape or form, the more you embrace, whether or not you like it, you don't have to like yourself to accept yourself.
Wait, say that again. And explain why.
You do not have to like yourself in order to accept yourself. There are periods of time when we do not like ourselves because we are in transition. We are recognizing things about ourselves that maybe our dislike of them is because they're no longer true. They're no longer valid for our circumstances or our condition or our position. And so when we are in a position of when we are transitioning in life is the time where we don't like ourselves. And so that's the thing that inspires us to change ourselves. Right? When we don't like someone, it's because we want them to change what they're doing or who they are or how they are or whatever. Right? So when you learn to accept yourself is saying, I don't like myself right now, but I still rock. And this is where I'm at. I'm going to own my 6-foot square space right now behind this beautiful white curtain in the back of the room. I'm going to own my space. I'm going to be where I'm at so fully that it grounds me and it puts me in the strongest position to make choices that affect change immediately. That's the whole point, is when we accept ourselves, whether or not we like ourselves, when we accept where we are, what we are doing, we are in a position to see things in the reality in which we exist, not the one in our mind, not the one in somebody else's mind or in somebody else's opinion, but where we exist so that we can make a change to either embrace it or change it.
You know, I always say change doesn't change. It sure does. I always say change doesn't change until you change, right? So we've got to take the conscious thought that if we want to change, we have the ability and the power to do it. But now with self-acceptance, for those who are listening tonight who feel like they just don't accept themselves, because again, patterns and pathology train us to either say, accept ourselves or not. How do we disrupt the pattern of not accepting ourselves?
Well, first you have to acknowledge what it is. And like you said, we have a pathology. We learn things. Oftentimes we learn things from the existence of our parents or the lack of existence of our parents. Mm-hmm. You know, we are implored to do things or promoted or provoked to take actions that then we have guilt about. We feel bad about. Things aren't accepted. We want to do things or we want to make choices that aren't accepted in the world in which we find ourselves. And so we go against what really feels the best for us or what we really want and do what others want or need. And then we have shame or guilt about it. So whatever your pathology is, whatever, and by pathology, you mean the trail of energy that was created. Sometimes you could, like, one of the things I talk about in my new book coming in August, Conquer Your Karmic Relationships, is we come into life and have a relationship, a pattern relationship set up with regards to everything. We have a pattern in relationship to food, money, resources, sexuality, spirituality, ancestry, our environment. We have preordained, but they're not ordained. They're pre-patterned, pre-existing relationships already. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to be able to recognize when those exist, what they are, find the origin, and then decide what you want to do. Forgive yourself. If you've made choices based on those pre-existing patterns that you don't really like, then say, you know what, I forgive myself.
So
I
basically
appreciate that I did that.
Disrupting that is just forgiving it. Would you say?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And forgiveness in this context means to get back to neutral. Forgiveness does not mean it's okay. It doesn't mean that it didn't do damage, that you might have to reconstruct. Mm-hmm. What it means is, you know what, I'm just no longer going to give it power, and I'm mm-hmm. going to make the changes that that neutrality now allows me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's forgiving the feelings. It's forgiving your attachment to what has happened previously or actions you've taken previously to free you to move forward in a new way.
Mm-hmm. Training habits.
Yeah.
Right? Training
exactly
and habits.
It. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. So we're talking about own space and we're talking about self-acceptance. My guest tonight, Tracy Dumblazer, is here again. I love that you're back on Max and Friends. So let's talk about confidence, because that's a big thing that either, and there's, for me, there's always like different facets of confidence. There's the facet of confidence where you're confident, but you're still kind. And then there's the facet of confidence where you're a total asshole. So let's talk about confidence and what it means to you, and then how we can train ourselves to have a kind confidence.
Yes. Okay, so confidence, people often relate self-esteem, which is how you feel about yourself, with your confidence. And they do intermingle. Your confidence is literally how you have been trained to behave. So if you have been a person who's been trained to behave badly, mm-hmm. to be arrogant, to be fearful. So just to touch what you said, when people are arrogant, mm-hmm. they're not confident. They're actually fearful, and they're overcoming their fear by bulldozing themselves through or into a situation. That's what that is. It's not confidence.
Got you.
But confidence comes from habits, mm-hmm. right? And we can, I had a client yesterday who says, you know, I've actually, you know, I'm 50 years old and I've never been in a long-term relationship because I always end up kicking the women out of my house. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. He says, I'm just not confident in being in a long-term relationship because I love everyone. And I said, well, here's the thing. You can love everyone and be honest about it, mm-hmm. but you're kicking people out, not because of your fear of losing your freedom. You're kicking them out because you're afraid of the intimacy that the relationship is begin, the barrier that the relationship is beginning to breach in you. It's an emotional barrier. Mm-hmm. And so you are confident in not participating long-term in relationships. It's not that you aren't confident as a person. You know exactly what you're doing, and you're doing it for a purpose, that, and you are confident in it. So your confidence equals habits.
Got
and
you.
We can retrain a habit all day long.
How can we do that?
By first discerning the change you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
I love ritual, Max. I don't know. I expect that you have,
I
you know,
do.
That you do the similar thing.
But yeah.
I love rituals. I love altars. And when I first started working in the otherly world business, I literally didn't sleep for almost 3 years. And mm-hmm. I didn't go out of the house a lot. I was working all the time, but kind of up the weird schedule. And when I decided I needed to break out of that and get back into the living world with other beings, mm-hmm. I went on a 14-day ritual to get myself out of the house between the hours of 8 p.m. and midnight, which is like I was always asleep during that time. So, mm-hmm. and I got 14 people to come and say, to come and pick me up at the house. And I said, if I show up to the door in my pajamas, take me anyway. Take me that
right.
way. If I scream and cry and get angry, take me anyway. And actually the first three nights were a little rough, but after that I sailed right in it. So you figure out what you want to do, and you give yourself 14 days to make that transition by creating a new repetition, a new pattern,
mm-hmm.
a new habit.
Now, let me ask you, for someone, you know, like with addictions, people are addicted to drama, people are addicted to sex, people are addicted to drugs, people are addicted to so on and so forth. But, you know, how long does it take to actually break the habit? Or let's, for just for conversation's sake, the bad habit, you know, I don't want to judge anyone's habit,
sure.
but you know, the, how do we, how is it, how long does it take to actually break the habit and then get into the new way of thinking?
Okay. So when we talk about karma, because karma mm-hmm. kind of comes in here, when we talk about
karma, you're like,
karma,
girl, it could take lifetimes.
Exactly. No, but it's true. Like sometimes when you talk about addiction, some mm-hmm. people who are alcoholics or drug mm-hmm. addicts or whatever they are, some people are lifers. When you first become an addict, that means you're participating in a habit that you have no ability to be aware of, which is why AA really, you know, works with those, that level of addiction where you are in it. And to save your life, we need to separate you from your power. We need to give the power to the higher, to the one above you, the great one. Right. And, there are different generations. I would say that I'm a, you know, next for 500 years. So, today I'm obsessive. I can obsess on things for a while, but I do it for a while. And if it suits me, great. And if it doesn't, I'm able to go, you know what, that's not working for you. That doesn't, or it's not helping you in your relationships, or it's hurting people around you. You need to stop it. Right. I have the ability to have that awareness. Mm-hmm. Right. And in this lifetime,
awareness.
I have an extra awareness.
Yeah.
Right. So that can take lifetimes. But so the first thing is to, if you're in a position where you can acknowledge the condition you're in, acknowledge that you want to change it. The first step is to 14 days. It takes 5 exposures to information for the first time for somebody to hear it for the first time.
Explain that.
Okay. So I'll say, you know, Max, I really think you should try that. You know, I see you've got blah, blah, blah going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time I see you, hey, Max, I still see that blah, blah, blah is going on.
Mm.
And the fifth time I say it to you, you're going to go, what? That's interesting. I never thought of that. Right. You heard it for the first time.
Meanwhile, you said it 5 times already.
Exactly.
Got you.
Exactly. So it takes us time to recognize information about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then it takes literally 14 to 21 days to change the habit.
Gotcha.
So I use affirmations, you know, mm-hmm. I love myself today. I am powerful and strong and magnificent. Right. So whatever you say about yourself, say it. You know, 10 times a day for 21 days, and you'll begin to believe it.
Yeah.
And once you begin to believe it, it gets into your consciousness. Mm-hmm. Anything that doesn't match that vibration
mm-hmm.
comes up into your awareness to be reconciled, to either be reevaluated and embraced differently or changed altogether.
Mm. My guest tonight, Tracy Dunblazer, thank you for being here. We're talking about so many wonderful things. People are tuning in like, what are these two talking about? Well, what we're talking about is just basically whatever follows I am follows you. So the life that you want to have and the own space that you want to create and the self-acceptance and the confidence that you want to have, it's all the Michael Jackson said it best. Start with the man in the mirror or the woman in the mirror or whomever in the mirror. But you got to make the change. But so let's talk about transitions. We're going to transition right into jobs, relationships, lovers, friends, bad habits, homes. The word transition for so many people means so many different things. But how do we transition peacefully? I mean, and we can start with, let's start with the workplace. For those of you tomorrow who are going to your job and you think your job sucks and you want to transition into another position peacefully, how do we do that?
Boomerang. You do not want to boomerang. Mm-hmm. Anytime we cast out, so like you go to your job and you're like, you know what? You get mad at your boss and you know, F you, I'm quitting. Mm-hmm. And you leave. Anytime you make a rash decision, it boomerangs, right? The energy comes back to you.
Yeah,
whatever you're trying to avoid. Exactly. Every time you try to make a choice to avoid dealing with something, then it's going to boomerang back to you in your next situation. So the idea here is to not cast out anything. If you want a new job. So I really, the whole job thing is so powerful right now because there are a lot of people in industries that are no longer necessary. Fossil fuels, coal. Mm-hmm. You know, we have all of these people who had these mm-hmm. jobs that now they have to, and generational. They're the fifth person in their family, in their ancestors to have this job.
I mean, even the simplicity as checkout, like, you know, I was at the Lowe's earlier today and everything is machine there. You just check. There's no one at the register anymore. I mean, to the simplest of, you know, jobs. Yeah.
No, exactly. And majority of our especially so your contempt or loathing to what you're doing and start to put more energy and effort and interest into what you want to do. Change your, instead of like, God, I hate going to the job every day. You know, that girl whines in my ear, everything, mm-hmm. you know, instead of complaining about it, that's your power. That mm-hmm. complainativity is your arrow in, that is power, it is raw power. Adjust it to a new focus.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Because I want to do what I want to do. What I want to do is I want to work with flowers. How can I mm-hmm. start? How can I start focusing on fill in your blank
mm-hmm.
and find a way to pay attention 15 minutes a day to that new thing and for a few days, then start trying to figure out activities. Go start Googling what jobs are in relation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So start changing your energy, pivoting it to the new thing, as opposed to spending all that power on the old thing and your
gotcha.
Feelings about it.
Mm.
Right.
And I mean, that goes in for anything, though, right? In from relationships to lovers to friends to habits to homes. Let's take a quick break right now. Ronan, can we get the song from Ashru is up and running? One of my besties, Ashru, has got a beautiful song, beautiful light. And I want to play it here tonight on Max and Friends. So, Ronan, let's get that. When we come back, we're going to have Tracy back on the show. And we're going to talk about transitioning from bad habits to homes and friends and lovers and relationships, but peacefully. So right now on Max and Friends, my buddy Ashru is.
All I wanna do is sing your love song. could I see? Baby, you're the one.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That
LA
was
Talk
your beautiful
Radio.
Life.
This is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back. That was my song from my buddy Astro's Most Beautiful Light. Welcome back, Tracy Dunn Blazer. We're talking about so many great things here on Max and Friends tonight. Let's just get back into the breath and the moment right now, because I know that music sometimes just takes us to another place like it just did with me. So again, breathe into this moment, exhale into this moment, and just own your space. That's what we're talking about here tonight with my guest, Tracy Dunn Blazer. We were talking about transition. Now, people who are in relationships, you know, when people start fighting and getting nasty with one another and they feel like, I want out of this relationship, how is the way to transition out of either the relationship or out of that vibration peacefully?
And so the first thing to do, the issue may not be with the relationship. It may be the dynamic with which both people are participating. It's always the dynamic with which the people are participating. So in order to move out of it peacefully, you've got to address what's really happening. Otherwise, if you kick that person to the curb and you move on to the next one, you're going to move right. If you don't know why it ended, you're going to start up that same dynamic with somebody new. And that's what we call karmic relationships, because you're participating in a pattern that continues if you don't address it. So try to not make it about the other person in the relationship, but always take, you know, be accountable and say, okay, well, what is this drawing up in me that is difficult? Because I had a boyfriend one time who I didn't know this at the time, but every time we would be fine over the phone, but when I saw him in person, I would want to be mean to him. And I didn't know where that came from, because that's not really my thing. I really realized after a conversation that we had where he had a deep loathing mother, and so he expected to be criticized, and he expected to be brought down a peg. And I was like, when he told me how volatile and how his mother never supported him and blah, 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 he told me, I was like, oh, so he is unconsciously expecting that from me. And because I don't know what it is, I'm naturally, you know, energetically connecting with him and want to kick his ass. And I was like, okay, wait, I can't let who he is or what he's doing change the person I want to be. And that was when I knew I had to change the relationship.
And, so you felt that disconnect. Forward,
Yes. But I said to him, I said, look, you know, when this happens, this is how I feel when I'm around you, and I can't do that. So we need to have a relationship where that's not an issue for me. So being lovers is not where we're at right now. I can't do that with you.
Yeah. How did it turn out?
You, it's me. we knew each other for 10, we still know each other today. We're friends on Facebook. You know, we keep track of each other. But we were never really deep friends in the first place.
Gotcha.
And that was the thing that made me recognize, oh, okay, this is teaching me something about my unconscious self, like how I naturally attach to what other people need from me and don't even realize I'm doing it.
You know, I always say,
made me want to behave.
I always, you know, we've done this, we're going into 12 years here now, Max and Friends, and I always tell people, you know, thank your exes, because they've showed you exactly who you don't want to be with. And sometimes
exactly.
Who you are. So, you know, take that anger, take that animosity, take all of that and just like, you know, shift the paradigm, change the whole concept and just be grateful and say, you know, thank you for showing me who I don't want to be with. And thank you for showing me who I am and what I need to work on. So, all right. Speaking of working on things, self-mastery. What is self-mastery?
Well, let me tell you what. Mastery does not mean you know everything.
Mm-hmm.
That people oftentimes think that when, you know, if you're going to be a master of something or embrace self-mastery, that you know everything, that you've got it all figured out, that everything is perfect. And there's never a time in life where that is ever the case, because there is always something new to learn. The idea of having mastery over yourself and your life is to address your life or a task or a job or a relationship with the spirit of motivation and aptitude. People who are successful believe they can. They don't know they can. They just do.
Yeah.
And they figure like I became a makeup artist because somebody said to me one time, "Are you a makeup artist?" And I said, "Sure."
Mm-hmm.
Sure I am. Come, sit down, you know?
Yeah.
And I learned. My first makeover took me 4 hours with the help of somebody. Got through it. And then from that point, I was like, okay. It started a whole new career that actually embraced me and carried me through 10 years of my life.
Yeah.
And all because I said yes.
It's true. Bob Proctor, you know, always says that successful people don't know how they're going to do it, but they know that they can do it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, say yes to that. You know, growing up, I was always doing that. I would say yes to everything. Are you a photographer? Yes. And then I became an award-winning photographer. Are you a designer? Yes. And then I started design. You know, and it's just even like radio. Yeah. Are you a radio host? Yes. And now I just say I'm available to everything because I can do everything. You know, and then I just figure it out along the way. And that's the beauty of it. And to me, you know, people are like, oh, you live in such a daydream world. Oh, yeah, but it's good to daydream because you can see it in your mind. You can turn it into, you know, you can turn it into reality, I think.
Exactly. Well, you get used to the thinking in that way.
Yeah.
And our thinking is the precursor to every choice we make. If we are confident in our ability to think about certain things or our comfort level, when we've thought something through completely on it, like I was talking with somebody, I've been having issues with my sinuses and mm-hmm. somebody today, I have these Ayurvedic people next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he goes, do you want some nose oil? And I'm like, oh my God, what is nose oil? So he says, well, it's blah, blah, blah. It's for your sinuses. It actually clarifies and detoxes. And I'm like, oh my God, yes, I'll take it. Like I didn't need to know any more than that because for the last 5 weeks, I've been saying, okay, God, I need something for my sinuses. Something is going on here and I need to shift it. And it's chronic. It's not an ailment. It's in my diet. It's also because of, I needed something for detox anyway. And there it was, and I knew I wanted it, and it seemed like an impulse buy, but in fact it was not, it was a manifestation of something I've been working on for 5 or 6 weeks.
Wow. You know, I'm going to send you right now an amazing binaural beat on YouTube that you can listen to. I love binaural beats. So I'm going to send you that one too.
Yes.
And also, you know, it's just funny how you said that because there's a product that we talk about here often on Max and Friends because I love finding family products that have been around for like generations. And there's one called Alkalol. If you don't know Alkalol, go get it right now. It is the most incredible thing for sinuses. It's the most incredible thing ever. And you get it at Walgreens or CVS or wherever. But it's like all natural. I promise you, you'll love it. I'm going to send you the binaural beats. But with that said, we've got a million things we got to talk about still. You know, I have a note here that you wrote to me with talking points. And one of them is called, you wrote Grief in Transition. So I think it's a beautiful way to end the show, Grief in Transition, because so many people right now are grieving about, you know, our political environment, about the death of Kobe Bryant, about so many, you know, people, about the coronavirus. There's like this, the people are just scared. And let's talk about grief in transition. What does that mean to you? And why do we need to talk about it? I just feel like we need to. So why do we need to talk about it right now?
We have to talk about it because every transition that people go through, every change a person mm-hmm. goes through, grief and a mourning process. And the mourning process is the process that, like right now, Kobe, that nailed people in the heart on a global level. So not only are we deeply missing him and this magnificent space that he held where he owned his space on such a profound level. So we have that, we're missing that, but we're also missing what he meant to us,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so every individual has their own personal relationship to what that is. And they're going to have to go through a process of changing how they related to him and what they thought of him and embracing the fact that their feelings are hurt and their hearts are broken.
Mm.
It's okay to cry. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to be in shock and not feel anything. All of those are different aspects of the grieving process.
Mm-hmm.
But once we've actually expressed the emotion, which is the grief portion, we have to learn how to live a life without that person in the way they existed or without that job in the way that it existed or whatever it is with the political climate. We have mm-hmm. to learn to live the way it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
If we love it, if we don't love it, mm-hmm. people who love it are fearful it's going to change. People who don't love it are fearful it's going to stay the same. Mm-hmm. And so we all have to find a way to be the change that we can be in our world to be empowered. And that takes grief. Grief, just so you know, when you cry for 10 minutes or more, it literally changes the neurons in the brain, and it creates a space for you to repopulate the neurons with a new thought, idea, or feeling.
Mm.
Okay, so the process of grief literally creates a space. It also actually activates the heart, and the heart has specific hormones that create a sense of safety, a natural chemical sense of safety. And safety is the number one thing that people do not feel right now. No matter who you are on a global level, on an unconscious level, we are feeling unsafe with the changes that are happening in our world.
Yeah.
So learning to recognize that, crying about it creates these other endorphins that come from the heart, these other hormones that make us feel like no matter what, we're going to be okay. No matter what, if I got to change my job, if I got to change my relationship, if I got to move, whatever it is that I got to do, I'm going to do it and I'm going to be okay in it. I'm not alone in it.
That's true.
There are 7 billion of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're all from the I am. I am of the I am. Well, exactly. You know, we got to wrap this show up. Literally, that's how fast time flies, the illusion of time here on Max and Friends. I know. I could spend forever speaking with you. I feel like we have. But next, I'm really looking forward, since we touched on grief, to seeing you on Jessica's show, not tomorrow, but the following Monday. I don't know what date that is. But you're doing we're airing the Sex After Grief show. So that's going to be something that I really look forward to on Jessica's show, Sex After Grief with Tracy Dunn Blazer on the 17th on The Polish Woman. But until then, Tracy, I'm really grateful that you were able to spend some time with us here on Max and Friends.
I am so excited.
And before I let you go, what do you want people to take with them into this week?
I want you to embrace the space you're taking up and be in it, own it, love it. Love yourself regardless of how you feel about yourself.
Hmm.
Does that even make sense?
Yeah, perfect sense. I love it. Absolutely.
No matter how you feel about yourself. Yes.
It's true. Because if you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, again, I'm grateful that you're here. I just want everyone to take into this week with them that no matter where you are in that exact moment, realize that's exactly where you're supposed to be. Just be still and know where you are, where I am, where we are collectively right now, no matter where it is in this world, is exactly where we are supposed to be. So when you're in traffic tomorrow, realize you're supposed to be there. And instead of getting upset about it, just be grateful that you're alive and in that space where you're alone if you want to be alone and you're in traffic and you can't go anywhere. So just be still and know. And really just where you are right now is exactly where you're supposed to be. So take that into this week and really understand, like, make that your mantra. Where I am right now is exactly where I am supposed to be. It will take away stress. It will take away anxiety. It will take away nervousness. It will take away anxiousness. It will take away all the things where you feel like you need to be somewhere else. Well, guess what? Where you are right now is exactly where you're supposed to be. And that's listening to Max and Friends here on every Sunday night. I'm glad that you're able to spend some time with us here. I love you all for listening. Until next time, take life to the max. Good night and good karma. I'm your host, Max Tucci, for Max and Friends. Good night.